Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not backing down. I made it too far to say that the war is over now. In the fact that your heart is what you're protecting, and that makes it special, which is why I'm here, standing on this ledge trying to make it clear.
I'm ready for you. I've been waiting too long. I got a high for us,
and I know I'm right where I needed to be all along. So until I have your
I'm a fiend for your attention. Good evening. Good evening to everyone and everybody. How you doing? My name is Mojave, also known as Hal Brooks, here on Epiphany Radio. They call me Iron Man. It's a weird name, but I like it. Tonight, on this special fly speak that we do at the beginning of every month, we are going to have an incredible artist, creative, author, the living definition of black girl magic, black woman magic, really, and super dope person overall, all right? So here on this open mic, part 21, season 2, we are going to be featuring Dr. Rebecca Dupas, right? And if you want to call in, the number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 to be heard. Raise your hand by pressing 1 so that we know that you're here. You know that I'm horrible at reading numbers. So I don't know. You're either going to have to hit me back channel or you know, text me or something like this going on. And if you hear a very burly 9-year-old running around screaming in the background, that's his sister torturing him. And I've already yelled at them 4 times. So I don't know if that's going to keep working, but hey. We're going to try to make it through here without them making noise. But let's talk about our feature this evening. All right. So here on the Epiphany Radio Universe of Real Entertainment Network, we love to bring you some of the best poets that you may not have heard of or you haven't gotten around to or you've heard but you haven't seen. And tonight, here on Flash Speak, we fought that new style of speak, and tonight is no different. Dr. Rebecca Dupas is an educator, an author, a photographer, an entrepreneur, and an award-winning poet who was recently named Baltimore Legend in the Baltimore Crown Awards. Her latest work, a collection of original poems called Not Without Black Women, and a children's book, Mario Goes to the Museum, are fictional and non-fictional explorations into the black experience. From the senseless murder of unarmed black men and women to the beauty of the black family, Rebecca's writings are rooted in resiliency and black joy. Rebecca, with her passion for the arts and artist development, is the founder and former host of poetry events in the Baltimore and D.C. area. She now enjoys writing, performance, production, and commissioned composition. Rebecca's work has appeared in Centric, Fox 5, and most recently on C-SPAN, PBS News, WEAA, and in the Washington Post alongside President Clinton, and in the D.C. Black Film Festival. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Dr. Rebecca Dupas.
Hey.
Dr. Dupas, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I happen to be in fine form. I happen to be in very, very fine form. You know, I've been wanting to like make this happen for like ever. I'm like, God,
and so, here it is.
For me, it's sort of, yes, it's like, you know, when you accomplish your vision, like I'd be feeling good. I'd be like, I'm like, yeah, she's gonna come in and kill everything, move it. It's gonna be great, you know. So that's how I feel. But the job today is to make sure that people understand who you are, see how dope you are, if everything else is happening. Now, I have to give a shout out to 2 people. One, Van Meadows, who's the station manager, aka Poetic, who's been secretly in the background stalking around labeling stuff, so I don't have to, because I was going a little bit crazy trying to figure out how to get our sound right. And then I have to shout out to T. LaShaw for manning our boards. And putting everything up, and is here operating the event page that's on Facebook that's going concurrently. So a lot of things that we'll say will actually end up on that Facebook page because she's on the job and she's dope and this is what she does and she rocks it each and every time. So shout out to them. Kudos to them. Props to them.
Thank you, bro.
You know, and advertising, marketing. Yeah, advertising, marketing. And I believe she made a video for your Cash App, so that should be on the page. So if you're listening, black art is expensive. Everybody understands. I say the same thing. Black art is expensive. Everything helps, whether it be, you know, coffee to rent, if you got it, do it all. Everything helps, you know. everything helps. So, and we are truly blessed with presence. Now, for you, Dr. DePaz, what I like to do also is I like to bring in, you know, people who are here so they can hear you in live time, and it's almost like you're doing a live audience, you know. And the rules are, people, if you're doing something in the background, mute yourself, but they can give you live responses to your poems as well as roses at the same time. Is that okay by you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to open up one of my best friends from the great state of Pennsylvania, from Philly, La Pearl La Negra, a.k.a. Danielle.
Hey.
Danielle,
hey.
You there?
Hey. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. First, I want to say congratulations, Doctor, on all your accomplishments and your accolades. I love to see our people do well, and it's just great to actually talk to you tonight. And that's all I'm about to say right now. What's up,
Thank
Hobby?
You so much.
It works. It works out. All right. From the great North, we bring in Lady A.
Hello.
Lady, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
I can hear you.
Super
can you
fantastic.
Hear me now?
Thank you for joining. Yeah, no, I can hear you. I can hear you before.
Okay, great.
Thank you for joining us. All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to move to you. I'm going down to the A. She comes to me as a rare epiphany. Rare Epiphany, what it do, Shorty? ATL, what's good?
What it do, what the business is, Shorty. We good, we good. Glad to be here.
No, I automatically feel like all this. Go ahead, Dr. DePaz.
Yeah, I just said thank you for coming.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. It's all sweet tea and magnolia.
Hey. That's a visual right there. I appreciate that.
All right, and then I'm going to move to our station manager, Mr. Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Van,
good evening.
Good?
Good evening. Good evening, everyone, to the feature, mm-hmm. Dr. DePaz. Welcome, welcome. We thank you for being here and gracing us with your talents, your gift, and more importantly, the presence of just you. So we're honored and we're humbled, and thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll be having more people joining us, and, you know, some people are going to be, you know, in the background listening, and I guess they'll raise their hands when they're ready. So I want to get directly into it. You know, the one thing that I love, you said that your writings are rooted, you know, in being resilient and Black joy. Would you like to give us, the reason why your writing is rooted in that?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people know me as a relationship poet. I feel like I've put a whole lot of energy into that particular topic. I don't even know if it's been by choice, but when I'm writing those poems, I think that resiliency is a thread throughout, where I can talk about what the problem is or what the problem was, whether it was my end, the person that I was dating, some type of shared flaw, whatever. But there's also always going to be an element about perseverance, overcoming, continuing to love, you know, loving self. And so that's always been there in the relationship form, but I think that it's also evident in the other topics that I cover too. So if I'm talking about racial dynamics in this country, if I'm talking about family, if I'm talking about relationships with my dad, if I'm talking about friendship, or if I'm talking about being a Black woman, there is still going to be this whole idea of, regardless of this other stuff, I'm still here. Regardless of this other stuff, there's still light at the end of the tunnel. So I think that that's present in my poetry. And now that I've written a children's book, actually I've written a second one, just hasn't published it yet, and I finished my novel, I think that resiliency and Black joy are always going to bubble up to the surface, even though I'm typically going to tackle what might be considered an issue.
So when you say Black joy, what exactly do you mean?
I mean the beauty, the resiliency, not to be redundant, the happiness, the strength, the qualities that I love about being Black. So, for instance, I was thinking about the novel that I most recently wrote when I updated that bio, just to be very transparent. And in that novel, it's like a women's fiction novel where it kind of goes on this journey with a woman who has yet to find, but is on a journey to find her forever person. And so when I think about all of the scenarios that she goes through, there's some drama, but happiness is going to pop up. You know, there being her ability to win in some areas is going to pop up. Her ability to find self and love, all of those things are going to pop up. So joy for me are the parts of the story, especially the Black story, that is seldom told. So we dance, we laugh, we have a good time, we party, we shake our ass, but we also we learn and we teach. And so all of those positive aspects of culture, I try to make sure I continue to return to them no matter what it is that I feel like discussing as a writer.
Well, that's definitely beautiful. So who are some of your influences when you write? Or, you know, poets, authors, people, cultural critics, who influences your writing?
There are a number of artists that come to mind. Like when I'm writing a piece, I often think about the energy and the impact. I wouldn't say that I write, you know, similarly to anyone else, but I think about Sonny Patterson. I think about how Sonny gets on the stage, and I've seen her work kind of loud and boisterous rooms. So when she gets on the stage, 9 times out of 10, that entire room is going to become silent. And it's not because she's, you know, flashing skin or anything like that. It's because her talent is just that amazing. She's going to write the hell up out of a line, and then she's going to write the hell up out of another line so that you're consistently being drawn into her work. So I keep that in mind. Like, even if I'm doing something playful, when I'm done the draft, I'm like, okay, but where are you writing right? What's the line in this poem that you say it is going to make you smile on the inside because you're proud that you wrote it? Even if you can only put one in there, you know, that's a banger to you, where is it? You know, what is that thing for you? So Sonny's in the back of my mind pushing me off always to remember you can rhyme because I'm a rhyming poet. Like, it's cute if you rhyme, but what are you saying? And then I think about Archie the Messenger. Out of by way of New York, and I think of his playfulness and how he's not fitting into anybody's box. And I think that every now and again, that energy pushes me to do something that I haven't done before. Is it a new topic you can write about, Rebecca? Is it something that you probably wouldn't naturally think to say in a poem that you're willing to say in a poem? So I think those two, the legacy, the poise, the intellect of Maya Angelou is something that's in the back of my mind all the time. The ability for, like, Langston, the brevity, his ability to say so much in a little space, like, all those things influence.
No, I mean, you are a very poised poet. I don't think that I've ever heard you not be poised and measured, but you do have a lot of brevity in your poems. Like you'll punch three or four times and then say something really funny, like God awful funny, and then get back to punching, right? And I believe that's a very specific talent. That's like something I've seen you do. I posted two videos today, and you were talking about relationships, right? You know, and you said, and the funny thing is, like, you're like, hey boo, and you said, you know, you went from hey boo to you know what I'm saying, right? You get to see how you're giving emotional definition and then punching at the same time. I think is a very specific talent. And speaking of doing poems about relationships, years ago, I remember Jamal St. John would like he'd gush about you. Oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he super gush, right? And then I remember he went to Baltimore. He's like, yeah, blah blah blah. I seen everybody, and I was like, yeah, I want to meet these people. You gonna introduce me? What are you gonna do? But he would gush about you, and I believe you wrote this piece about there was a big snowstorm, and a brother wanted you to stay something for 3 days, and it was really, really dope, like the back and forth in the piece. How do you write so, like, emotionally intense, but you're able to tell a story without sacrificing yourself? How does that work?
I am smiling because I remember, I don't know where that poem is, but I remember the concept of that poem, the whole idea of he wanted to be snowed in, and I was like, I don't think I can take 3 days of this thing. So, oh, my God, thank you for reminding me of that. But I feel like, you know, I hate to kind of take this to a different realm of being, but I don't take credit for the ability, because poems like that kind of pour out of me, and I'm always like, wow, like, thank you, Lord. Because I feel like there's this story of this, there's a need for me to tell the story. And anybody who talks to me on a regular basis knows a sister can talk. And, a small thing that could happen that was maybe 20 seconds or 5 minutes of my day, I could talk about that thing for hours. I'm breaking it down. I'm remembering what they said. I'm thinking about what they said meant to me, what it would mean to me in a different scenario. Why would you say that to me? What were you thinking when you said that to me? Did I respond the way I wanted to respond? What should I have said? Like, my brain does all of that with a moment. And I feel like when I feel strongly about something, like the idea of being trapped in a space with someone who is so certain it's going to be an amazing time, and me like, and bruh, we ain't going to survive this. I just feel like once I start writing, let me get this out, and thank God I have this ability to make it poetic. And I'm really, I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm always grateful. Because it's that poem, which I don't remember fully. It's poems like 1 o'clock in the a.m. I remember the moment. You know, I know what it felt like naturally when I'm getting that late-night text, and I know what it is, and I know I shouldn't say yes, but I'm fitting to say yes. You know what I mean? And, like, that feeling sitting with me to the point where I just have to pour it out. And I don't know, Mojave, I think it's just being able to see a situation from so many perspectives that becomes a benefit in my poetry. Because people like, you know, I mean, some people like, you bash, and I'm like, I don't bash. You might be uncomfortable with how I tell the story, but I'm gonna tell the story, and some of what I'm saying is not necessarily what I was thinking or what I think the other person might be thinking or another woman might be thinking, but I'm going to put it in here, and that might be the reason why multiple, you know, personality types can relate to the same piece. But whatever it is, I'm grateful for it.
Dope. Okay, so now I think it's time that we hear a sample of your work. I didn't want to put any, you know, like, and, you know, I was like, okay, whatever you want to do, it's whatever you like. What would you like to read for us first?
What's in my mind is a poem called Dear White Girl, which is one of my poems about race. Because we were talking about Black joy and how regardless of what I'm talking about, there are going to be those moments of celebration, I think that this one might be a great way to demonstrate that.
Okay. The mic is yours.
Thank you. All right, so this is Dear White Girl. I have never wanted to be anything other than a Black woman. There's something beautiful about the skin that I'm in, something magical in this melanin, dear white girl. You will tan before I ever choose to be. You will learn to dance like me before I ever sigh with less rhythm and groove, but despite the rhetoric of fools. Even when I straighten my hair, it is not in an attempt to be like you. These strands will always carry the weight of something great. There is something beautiful about this body, this mind, this history, this culture, which you try to appropriate in everything from Elvis to Iggy. Admittedly, what she called fancy was her adorning herself in the everyday ways of the minority. Those are our hand-me-downs. That rhythm that she found was concocted in my mama's basement on my auntie's front stoop. So no, I don't envy you. Creators never do look at those who look at a protege and then marvel at what they produce. No, we marvel at its use because imitation is a form of flattery. That is until the student no longer pays homage to the master. And let's be honest, gold front cornrows on you are a disaster. I can tell by the way that you brush past me that you fear my royalty. You were starving yourself before you allowed your hips to spread like mine. This was the way that your brothers ridiculed you and thunder thigh was an insult until we walked by and you realized that our earthquake was to die for. And the men that we've loved, you coveted them since their strong backs built your ancestors' wealth. So no, I am not confused by your displays of arrogance. The only reason you saw me see you walk by is because you were watching me and longing for my eyes, your white girl. I will always be amazing in these jeans. I will always be the descendant of kings and queens. You will always exert energy pretending not to see me. And I will always know with certainty.
Unmute your mics. Give a round of applause to Dr. Rebecca DuPas.
Nice. Very, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Phenomenal.
Are there any flowers for us?
Well, this is my first time hearing you.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, this is my first time hearing you, and I enjoyed that piece very much. I like your flow. It's very easy, and I really enjoy the piece. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Rebecca, I saw little excerpts on your videos that you had, or we had placed in the event page. And I really like a lot of the things that you said there as well. And most of all, I liked the fact that you were promoting us as individuals, and that we as women don't need a man, and vice versa. We don't need someone else to give us our identity, and we are enough. And I thought that some of the things that you said there were terrific, and your poem was as well.
Okay. Well, the other thing that I love that you do on Clubhouse when you talk about the experiences of working in a corporate environment and how it has a cultural effect on what it is because of how, something about who we are, our hair, the way we dress, our phrase, our diction, it's pretty amazing. Would you like to talk about that?
Absolutely. So I don't know if in particular you want to hear dripping or not, but I have a handful of poems that deal with being a black woman working in corporate America. And it's interesting because I shouldn't speak any life over this comment, but it's a teachable moment, and it's proof of how ugly and pervasive racism and bias and stereotypes and black hate is in this country. So Driffin was doing very, very well this week on TikTok. I'm assuming, you know, the right person shared it, and, you know how those things happen. It's quite random. So I hadn't really been using TikTok, and now I have the number of plays on that particular video, and it's only a segment of it where I'm talking about how as a black woman, really since I was younger, I've been complimented on being articulate, when my white coworkers are never complimented on how they speak because the expectation is already there that they can string the sentence together. And there's a line in there where I talk about my degree beating another employee's degree for breakfast, because the reality is that it's not me being mean, but white mediocrity is a thing where you can put two people side by side, and a black person will have had to have pages of credentials to get to the place where a white colleague might be, and they may not have had to do that many things for the same opportunity. Now, that's the reality. There's research to prove it. There are, you know, blogs and some other things for people to read to see that it's true, that people of color, black people in particular, work harder for where it is than you see. But anyway, a troll, if you will, looked me up and then was insulting my degree because my PhD, I went on an online program, so he was using that to say that I needed to take a seat, right? And so I was looking at it, and at first the blood went to my face, but then I realized this is what happened. It's like I'm here talking about racism. I'm here talking about how, as a black woman, I'm scrutinized in ways that white folks aren't, and then this guy shows up, finds my bio somewhere, and then tries to break it down and insult me in order to prove that I need to be quiet. And I was like, he's doing the exact thing that the poem is about. And when I realized that, then I just decided to talk shit to him. But the reality of what it is that we experience is absolutely amazing that at this point in 2022, and it amazed me 10 years ago as well, but in 2022, that people are denying the fact that, you know, black folks are still trying to get a seat at the table, and when they get there, they're still trying to prove that they belong there. When a lot of folks get to the table and no one ever questions why they are there, people don't evaluate their work ethic to the same extent, a unique experience that people of color, black people in particular, face in the corporate space. So as a result of that, I got like 5 or 6 pieces on the topic, and I'm going to continue to write about it because we got to do John Lewis's good work. You know, we got to keep calling folks out or calling them in. We got to, you know, we got to talk about the reality of this, because if we pretend like it's okay or we suffer in silence, people like the man who tried to tear me down under my poem because I triggered him, you know, those people are going to continue to make this world the ugly place that it is. I'll stop there.
Well, listen, I would love to hear the poem if you have it.
I do. I'm Drippin is I love doing Drippin, but it's also one of my longest poems. I'm going to share At the Table, which is kind of similar. It's a little bit shorter. Even black laughter seems audacious in spaces that expect our silence. A smirk, a long look, a confident response easily mistaken as violent in a world where a white man's protest is a black man's riot. When there isn't a seat at the table, a black body will always seem defiant how it sits there taking up space, not hinting towards its complexion. they perceiving when affirmative action could never? What is a barrier to a Harriet? What is racial trauma to an Obama? America tried to trump us, but we keep coming. Enslaved in America to America's president. Now that's one hell of a promotion. We went from serving to space holding. Shout out to black people interrupting whiteness and refusing to be a token, creating black spaces. We break the door open. Bend but we are never broken, knowing our movements are controlled. Blackness will be free despite their efforts to control, despite the lane allotted for black bodies being narrow. We pray that black Jesus keeps his eye on the sparrow should red, white, and blue shadows come. From the boardroom to the courtroom, these are racist streets that we roam. We aren't praying for heaven at the moment. We just want to make it home. Should vigilante citizens decide our lives don't matter enough? Should our colleagues and neighbors decide to Amy Cooper us? This is the paradox of black existence, being relegated to small spaces and making miracles decline. Bringing our kinks and our large behinds, our fullness and the brilliance of our minds, our colorful language and our soul, our good food, our religion, our rebellion, for every ancestor they stole and sold, we are coming. For the seat, for the whole damn table, for the office, for the title, for the label, we pulling up and we eating grateful. We are never wasteful. We are making up for all the meals that we have been denied. We bring in our chair, table, and we looking at people like, okay, it's time to move aside.
Dope. All right, can we unmute our mics? Give a round of applause.
Okay, sir.
Okay. Make my stars twinkle.
Yes.
As a black woman, does that move my star twinkle? Do you hear me? Ooh.
I love
that's my
that.
Every day.
Yeah, and we have so many analogies for it. We want to seat at the table. We built the table. We bring the table. You know, all of these different things. And the table is a place of power, but also it is a place of being triggered. And if you're in corporate America, you have an experience at the table that other people ain't having at the table. You see the thing differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, my skin is always speaking. And so I'm always living in that energy, which means that energy exhausts me as well. It's so many emotions involved in that.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, that's an absolute thing that happens. When I worked at a university, my supervisor had decided to go through everything that I did with a fine-tooth comb, right? Even though knowing that, like, I develop programs because, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? So I'm overseeing 519 students single-handedly. And so I saw the person from the registrar, and she was like, well, whatever I can do to help you. So I was like, I wasn't really good at Excel. So I was like, listen, this is my problem. And they was like, oh, she's like, oh, no, that's no problem. I will sign somebody to you. And that would be your liaison. And so we created this formula in Excel that really helped me to do my job that's more effective. And then, like, literally, right, happened to nobody else. But she was like, why would they help you? Why would they assign somebody to you? Why would they give you something? And I realized, like, I was supposed to fail miserably. I wasn't supposed to ask for help. I wasn't supposed to get help. I was supposed to be under the guard to give her whatever she needed. And, you know, and her tirades kept going on and on and on. Like, you know, I had a budget. I had a discretionary budget. She only gave me $2,000 off the discretionary budget. She kept the other $8,000. And then she used the other $8,000 for whatever she wanted to use it for. Like, you have these things that happen to you that you really can't explain to nobody else. Like, you can't explain that somebody's going through all your reservations looking for something because they want to get you. And everybody thinks you're crazy when you're talking. So, you know, black men, too, in corporate-type environments, We have this thing that, you know, our skin is speaking all the time, like you said. You know, so it's very timely what you're saying. It's actually pretty amazing. Anyone else?
No, I mean, you know, I felt that in my core, in my spirit. It's weird because I work for a European company now, and it's a totally different experience in the office, but you can't stay in the office, right? So my clients are still American companies. I still deal a lot with standard white male power structure. But when I walk into the room to represent my company, I can see their faces. And they're like, who is she? Why is she here? And they automatically question my credentials.
Uh-huh.
And then I have to come into the room, knock all that shit off the table, and to get a modicum of respect, I've had to have my CFO defend me when he shouldn't have had to, right? I was in a meeting and someone kept cutting me off, a white male kept cutting me off. You ask me a question, I'm trying to answer your question. And he kept cutting me off until my CFO had to say, excuse me, I'm going to need you to let her get to the period at the end of her sentence. That's not what we're
okay.
going to do here. And I love the fact that my white male European CFO had my back, but I hate
mm-hmm.
the fact that he had to.
So Rebecca, when is the next time? I wanted to ask you, Rebecca, Dr. DuPas, when is the next time you're doing a forum in Clubhouse? Because I know you were doing them under Ingrid's house.
Yeah.
When do you
yeah.
think?
We have decided to I'll call it a pause, because I'm sure that we'll work together again in some capacity, but we were doing first and third Mondays on Clubhouse, and it's just a lot going on in our individual lives that's kind of interrupting our ability to plan and to come together with the type of, I guess, passion and prowess that we would want to. And so I'm not sure when you'll see the three of us together again, but between myself, Shawanda Barnett, Greg Corbin, we're all very passionate about it. And so if you are connected with any of us on Clubhouse, whenever we do start a room, you'll get that notification.
Okay, that's absolutely fantastic. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the development around poetry in the Baltimore and D.C. area. Is there a difference between Baltimore and D.C.? I heard that there is, but I want to make sure that that's actually true before I speak on it. And more importantly, who are some? Yeah. No, because when I was asking the difference between Baltimore, like Baltimore poetry versus D.C. poetry, I had a conversation about this when we was in Philly. I was talking to a D.C. poet who said that, you know, the D.C. poetry scene was a little bit different for him and stuff like that. So I wanted to get your opinion on the differences between the Baltimore scene and the D.C. scene.
What did he say? What was different about D.C.?
He didn't have a good opinion on it.
He said that D.C. was not as good as Baltimore, or vice versa?
He felt as if, well, I can't speak for him. I can only tell you what he told me, so I can't really speak for him. So no, he's oh no, I'm sick of DC poets, blah blah blah, it's this or that, it's clickish, it's such and such, it's this, it's that. I was like, wow, really? I was like, you know, I've always had a supremely good time going to DC poetry events, you know.
Yeah, okay. I just needed to know what the energy was it's helpful to know what you've already been told. So I'm not from here. I was born in Louisiana. So I come to both of those cities with a certain level of curiosity and also respect. I grew up poetically in Baltimore, so I definitely have a different bias towards the city. I met amazing, talented people in Baltimore. I was in college. I found open mics in Baltimore, and then it was mostly after that I spent time in D.C. I think that every city feels quickish to other cities. I mean, some poets kind of get in where they fit in and they're not worried about other people's energy, but I feel like it's possible for any city to feel cliquish. If I go to Philly right now, now Philly has already shown, always shown me love. First city to give me my first 3 poetry awards. That's how Philly has loved on me. So I'm only using it as an example. Don't soundbite this anybody. But I could easily go to Philly, not know anybody, go to an open mic, see everybody getting love, maybe even bust up on the list because the host knows something that I don't know, and I could leave assuming, oh, they just click it, even though the story might be deeper. So I don't even know how much attention I would pay to the clickishness of that. And I don't even know if they're talking about slam poetry, open mic poetry, because those two things have different vibes, but I feel like the difference between D.C. and Baltimore, if you were to ask me, I feel like it's really about energy and messaging. So if I go to open mic, I feel like I'm going to get a whole lot of everything. I feel like it's going to be that random poet that don't nobody know what they're talking about, but we're going to clap for them anyway. I feel like you're going to get some very quirky poetry, very different from anything that you might write, but you like, oh, but that's dope. I feel like there's more, I don't know if eclecticism is a word, but we're going to use it on tonight. You know what I mean? It's a lot of diversity, and you're going to get exposed to art in ways that are quite unique, because you got the college students coming down. You got the fact that it's hella gentrified, especially in the downtown area. So, you have, folks coming out to the open mic and they're not thinking what kind of space is this. They're just thinking, oh, it's the open mic. You can get a little bit of anything, but there's a whole lot of dopeness in D.C. Now, if I go to Baltimore, I'm going to get a different energy. I'm going to get an energy that almost feels like a slam energy, but ain't nobody waiting to point. I'm going to get a lot about black existence. I'm going to get a lot about being black, period. And I'm going to get that in D.C., but Baltimore is going to be different. I'm going to get those passionate relationship poems. And in Baltimore, don't nobody really have a lot of time for the person getting up with the poem that don't really make no sense, but we clap for them anyway. Baltimore ain't got time for that. Mm-hmm. And so... that could be off-putting to some people because they're like, but what are you going to say, though? What you bringing?
The funny thing that you mentioned Baltimore is because most of my experiences, more than D.C. poetry, like I fell in love with D.C. point blank period, because, I walked from, Howard to Adams Morgan on foot because I wanted to go to an open mic, and I didn't really know how to get there. And the cab system is real crazy in D.C. at that time. I was like, yeah. So, but in Baltimore, because some of the people I'm pretty sure that you knew, Shelly Says So, Naja, some of Black Shop. Like, there were so many people that I ran into because of Baltimore, just being in Baltimore. Baltimore, pretty much, I go to Baltimore to eat. I'm not going front on anything. I go and eat crab and do all kinds of shout out to Karen. Karen Lish and the rest of the ES fam, that's what we do. So we go to the different things and everything else, but we also manage to do poetry and go to the different things. So, rich tradition and history of hanging out, hanging out with Shelly, like, yo, I used to have these super crazy arguments with Shelly. Super crazy arguments, right? But we do this poetry because he was a hellified poet, but all the poets in Baltimore are super serious. And then actually, if we're looking at the national scene now, Baltimore has just been cleaning people's clocks for a minute now. No slinks and using them. Cleaning people's
clocks. Yeah.
Yeah, and just coming through. Love the poet. Love is a super dope poet and a curator of the highest order. You know, like it's like I noticed that people in Baltimore, they carry their own axe, cut their own trees, clear their own ways, right? And so, you know, like it's funny because when I was talking to Jamal would talk about the different places that they have because he'd be invited to these places. And I would hear about certain people I knew personally, and then the people I would hear about you. So I would hear about you all the time from like different sources. They were like, yeah, blah blah blah. This Dose of DuPas, what's good? I was like, y'all gonna introduce me? I was like, y'all gonna introduce me? Yeah, nobody's gonna do it. Okay, I'm gonna run into one. Now the funny thing is,
I used to host so many shows. It was ridiculous, but I'm listening.
And so it was like a lot of stuff that was happening. And the funny thing was, I remember being in the Smithsonian African American Museum, and you were standing less than 3 feet from me. And I was like, should I say something? Should I not say something? Should I say something? Should I not say something? I didn't say anything. There was a bunch of kids from high school running around, you know, and they were not. Anyway, I was. It pissed me off. It kind of distracted me, so I didn't really get a chance. But you really was like walking around there. I was like, yo. That's Rebecca DuPont right there, right? Anyway, let me stop standing. The other thing I like that you do on your live shows on IG, you also talk about relationships and dating. And some of the poems that I pull from, it's you know, for the video that I put up as marketing, there's some brilliant think pieces and dope poems that you're doing. So would you like to talk about the subject matter of that?
I love black men, and I forever will. I have not found my I haven't found my favorite person, but I have not. I ain't sealed that deal. I didn't seal that deal yet. So, when it comes to my relationship poems, I'm writing about my experiences along that journey. And while I do have a couple of love poems like The Good Part and a couple of intimate pieces and that one erotic piece that you heard, the majority of the poems that I write are about the lessons that I'm learning as I matriculate through womanhood. You know what I mean? It's the 1 o'clock in the a.m. It's the no answer that text. It's the no, you can't just come over. I'm gonna need more than these text messages. I refuse to lose myself, you know, in this moment. Type messages where I'm writing my. I was telling somebody the other day, like, that was just Sunday. I was performing in Philly. I was like, you know, I'd be writing these poems and motivating people, and then after, like, talk to myself, like, you need to listen to the shit you just said. I feel like poetry holds me accountable. It holds me to the fire. Because I have a hard time saying something that I'm not living myself. But then poems keep on coming. So, like, for instance, 1 o'clock in the a.m., I wasn't supposed to love him, and I was never supposed to touch him, but I did. And this whole thing about, you know, got the text at 1, he there by 1:15. I was dealing with that brother well after writing the poem, you know, years later. But eventually, it's like, okay. You over that. That's not you. That's not what we're doing. That don't bring you peace. So in terms of relationship poetry, I'm always calling myself higher. And in the midst of it, the blessing is that I get to call other folks higher. Like I've had folks be telling, like, I sent your poem to the guy I was dating. He ain't talking to me no more. Or I sent it to him, and now we're having a conversation. He can't quite understand this concept. Or thank you for writing that. People crying, you know, I feel that. I'm so frustrated by that. This keeps happening to me. And so my ability to write what some women are thinking but never could articulate, or to write something that holds somebody to the fire in a way that they appreciate me for calling them higher, that means the world to me. I'm really grateful for my experiences around some of the points that I've
been doing. So would you mind doing one of the poems? I don't know the names of them, but the one that you were wearing the white dress, I would love to hear the whole poem of that one.
Sure. That's called Offended. I got to laugh, Mojave. I got to laugh, and I'm going to tell you something real quick. I'm going to tell you where this poem came from. I was in a long-distance relationship, if you feel. Sometimes that works, you know what I mean? But I was in a long-distance relationship. This guy, he can be adored. I'll just say that. He can be adored. I don't dislike him, but I just realized that we could have been on that journey forever if I would have allowed it. You know what I mean? Like, he was very content with the beautiful matches that we had, but emotionally unavailable. So he had popped up in my city, and it kind of pissed me off just because that feels like such that's like a relationship move. You popping up in the city, talking about him at the airport, like, bro, what if I had something going on? What's going on? So anyway, he comes, he's in the city, he's staying with me, and I asked him, like, well, what's really going on? And he was like, I don't know, maybe like in 5 to 10 years. I don't even know what he said after that. But when I heard 5 to 10 years, I got pissed off because I'm trying to figure out how you popping up in my city now talking about something might happen between us in 5 to 10 years. Like, that's just an insult. So we didn't last much longer after that, but I wrote this poem. It's called Offended. I gotta give you the background information. I gotta tell you how I know that. So anyway, it's called Offended. And his nickname is 5 to 10 years yo. That's what we gonna call him. So here we go. You taking this long to make a decision is offensive to my heart and to my womb. Don't mind me, I'm just writing to let you know that I'm leaving soon. You waited until the well and the vagina ran dry. And I hate to be rude, but I couldn't submit to you even if I tried. There is nothing appealing about you wasting my time. There is nothing sexy about you making me cry. Intimacy is 70% mental, and the sound of falling clocks is clouding my mind. I'm too busy picking up the shards of your attraction than to feel the tingle once produced by your fingers on my spine. You said you were work in progress. Nigga, who ain't? You said you need more time. King, I can't. I've been here. I've seen how you champion your sex game. Now I'm just waiting to see what that heart do. You showed up when showing up was convenient for you, but what about all the times that I invited more and you declined? You fought against a love as good as mine, as if evolving for a woman like me would be a crime. I'm leaving. I got one foot out the door, and you already grieving. You already telling me the things that I needed to hear. Your words are appeasing, but we both know that actions carry more weight. If I put these bags down right now, you ain't going to change. You're going to forget all the promises you just made. So this good girl is gone forever, not because she's gone bad, but because she can't keep being good to a man who ain't nothing but penciling her into his plan. You keep hitting me in every now and again and calling me your piece. But fuck your piece if it has no capacity to check for me. We either growing or dying, reneging or trying, and let's just say I would rather be alone than be confused. I know exactly what I want. The only one confused here is you. And now that I want to leave, you're dangling the idea of marriage and legacy, but we both know that when I love until I can't love no more. Shout out to legacy. But when I asked you your plans for me, you couldn't produce receipts. Not even an etch-a-sketch blueprint of a happily ever after. You ain't even have an outline of the next chapter. We on the same page in the same book, and you just losing in my margin. I used to think that shit is charming, but what I once saw as art is you decreasing my value. You're tagging me like I'm property, like these gangs do. You want to keep these other dudes at bay. You marking me so they'll stay away, but you have absolutely no intentions of ever changing my last name. I'm leaving. And now you telling me to wait? King, I can't been here.
Better letting me know you know who you are. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's right. I love that.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just like, I can't.
Okay.
Period. Okay.
So
I'm trying to keep
it.
That's
what's up.
Yes, I love it.
Can't. She's unable to can. She's just unable.
Okay.
It's over for you.
I did long enough. And it's a constant struggle because go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, finish your thought.
No, I was just saying it's a constant struggle because, you know, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just saying it's a constant struggle because he reached out just a couple of weeks ago. And I can't. I can't even answer the phone, Mojave. I can't answer the phone because some people, they have a thing about him. And you need to put your claws back in me and make me renege on that point. I can't. That's all I was going to say. I can't. No.
Wait, did he hit you with your, I'm ready now?
No, that's the thing. He's not even on that energy. You got to be careful with dudes like that because it's more so like a voice note. Not even a phone call. It's a voice note. I've been, you know, you crossed my mind. I was thinking about this one. No, I can't. You're not talking
about it. No, and no.
No, thank you.
He's trying to hit your ghost of Woody Paul's past that he masqueraded into relationships.
I'll be going in, let it go.
So this is what we're going to do because I'm cutting up. I got to play a station identifier because I didn't do it at 10 o'clock because I was enjoying the poetry, but I'm going to do that now, and then we're going to get back to it. And then we're going to open these mics and let some of the people, you know, I got some of the drip in the building. The drip is in the building. And so, you know, to regale you with some poetry, you know, share everything else like that. And have some people here make it all happen. But in the meantime, in between time, this is Epiphany Radio Universe. I'm Javi, your host. This is Fly Speak Open Mic number 21, featuring Rebecca, Dr. Rebecca DuPas. Welcome back to 15 Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Make sure you check out the webpage. We are here rocking out with Dr. Rebecca DuPas, author, photographer, entrepreneur, award-winning poet who was recently named Baltimore Legend and Baltimore Crown Awards. And we are here in the Fly Speak Open Mind, flaunting that new style of speak. Dr. DuPas, how are you?
I'm
That's good.
There's some
place over here. Okay, so listen, you're killing it. Like normally, I play music in the background, but I wanted everybody to hear what you were saying, everything in the background. But I saw some my people just strolled up in here. They was like, we're in here. So you know, I think it's fair and it's good. And we're gonna end promptly at 11 o'clock because it's a camp day. I got the kids here and I'm off like from everything tomorrow. So I love you want to hear very bad conversations with my daughter accusing me. Yeah, no, I'm just saying. But it's about to go down. So. I'm going to bring some people in here to do some poetry, and then I'll switch up. We're going to throw you in here, and thank you for coming to the room to write your drip piece. That was actually thank you. I appreciate it, and it was dope, you know. But I definitely want to hear that. But in the meantime, the between time, you got it with you?
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm going to do that, though.
Okay, well, all right. Then we can skip that.
Okay.
We can skip it. That's what the drip room is for. You can go and bring it on back. Bring it on back. You definitely can. Actually, I'm talking to somebody for us to come to Baltimore as it is, but as a whole another story. I'll hit you about that later. But, what you call it? We're gonna go with my favorite Philly John, one of my best friends in the entire world, and also of the drip, La Perla Negra. Are you there?
I'm here. I ain't dripping tonight, but I'm here. I got something.
No, you don't have to drip. Listen. Drip does not have to drip. You can do whatever poems you want to do. It does not have to be relegated. You know, I know how some of y'all get, but you know, y'all can just do just regular poetry if you like. Come on, regular. Regular.
Okay.
Do you have a piece you'd like to share this evening?
I do. I have some.
Okay. Well, the mic is yours.
Thank you. This is called Black Woman, We See You. Black Queen, I found your crown. Where did you go? Have you turned the corner leading to loss and turned away because they didn't acquiesce once again to your demands for just the fairness and respect of the day? Head held down in shame because hands smacked by life had you believing your richness was to blame. Our first teacher, Queen, look up and see. Your children are still waiting by the learning tree. Hold your head up and give me your hand. I am your sister. And I promise you, Black woman, I will not let you fall if you start to trip when you go and take a stand. Black woman, where have you gone? Are you blindly still searching for love with a soul that can rectify from a spirit that fears because it's all that you hold within? You are the direct connection to the Creator. Blessed and highly favored, you are love. Wipe off the mirror of your soul so you can see what we see and set yourself clean, Black woman. You want to know what we see when we look at you? We see how you're naturally protective, like the gold poured over precious metals. We see your natural ability to calm, soothe, and heal us, like this restorative property and honey. We have clarity from you. Your natural ability to make sense, like pristine waters of a flowing spring. And we see the strength you possess to endure the darkness, the pressure from life, like a diamond. Shine on, Queen. Sister, look at me and know that the true you is what we value and still see, the epitome of what Mother Earth herself embodies. You were meant to nurture this life with dignity, joy, and pride. Skin blessed in a thousand hues, brown-skinned girl, you have no reason to hide. Because happiness is your birthright. We've needed you before we took our first breath into this earthly plane. Sister Soulful, righteous queen, the first lady of creative originality, our healer. Realize how vital you are to our existence. Black woman, we see you. So hold your head up high and grace us once again with your presence.
That's it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, LaPrella Negra.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Affirming. I appreciate it.
Absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
Absolutely loved it. All right, so we're going to go from you, LaPrella Negra, over to Lady A. Lady A, do you have a piece you'd like to share with us this evening?
I do. Can you guys hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can.
Okay. I wrote this piece about a year ago, and it's called Our Roots. Ra shines upon the rainforest at the edge of the Sahara. Golden rays peek through the canopy of green. She is beauty with ebony skin. Some say she is Eve. Onyx eyes gaze upon her queendom. She is black pearl. From her womb the world was born. Brown sugar, ivory bones, all history points to this place where through the mist she's seen. Mankind dispersed over time. One thing remains the same. Bisque, cream, vanilla, cocoa, chocolate, brown are her DNA. Negro goddess, Earth's mother, titanium strength like no other, shaped her young to work the land, food, herbs, and medicines. Healer, trader of goods, negotiates our place on Earth. Humans, white to black, no hate in between. We are human beings. Ra shines upon the rainforest at the edge of the Sahara. She is Eve, black pearl, Earth's mother. Our roots, her DNA, and peace.
Okay, let's give it up for Lady A.
Couldn't find my mute button. That was beautiful. That was
beautiful.
Hey. I love that.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lady A. All right, well, we're going to go from you to Atlanta. She comes to me as a rare epiphany. Rare epiphany, are you there?
Hey, 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 I am.
She's like, I am.
I am.
I'm here. Dr. Chupas, we were in Philly, and Philly does give us love. Although our experience in Philly was a little bit more crazy. Just a tad bit crazy. And it involves a term that we call splash zone. Ask me later, I'll tell you. But
okay. You can't escape from the splash zone. You just can't.
Mojave worries you. I was outside eating soul food. Thank you. You cannot implicate me. Not there. Anyway, Rare, are you ready?
I am. Okay.
The mic is yours.
Okay. I'm a hoe, you know I'm a hoe. How do you know? 'Cause I told you so. I'm a hoe, working the corners of my life, hoping I might find any takers willing to help me break the hardened ground of my foundation, till this soil, or maybe before all that, thatch a divining rod to help me find my father's daughter. I guess I ought to explain my
chest of valuable things been cracked open since I was just my daddy's baby girl. Treasures like my self-esteem and self-worth hurled into the darkness, into the farthest reaches of the world, way past where five-year-old fingers can reach and curl around them, get a good grip. So I've been sadly ill-equipped for a life that keeps nipping at my heels to heal when I don't really know how. Now wait, that's not completely true. I just knew the work would damn near kill me, so I filled me with a numbing concoction of food and apathy, made me a pillar of salt. Looking back at every assault levied against me, dared myself to blink, it's the ink that saved me. Gave me a means by which to glean a little light from the darkness, park this pain squarely in this pen, bleed it deeply into the crevices of each page, and that was good if I just wanted to make it. But I want more, so I become an excavator, a back hole, pushing aside monuments I built long ago as Ebenezer to hurts that don't deserve me anymore. I do myself a disservice when I do not dig beyond my surface to unearth me, explore the depth and breadth of what makes a rare epiphany. There may be parts of me buried at sea beneath the blood, sweat, and tears that have always encompassed me. Lighthouse me, please. I want to see where I am going and want to be. More than I want to grieve the misery of my past. I want to be free at last, so I will hold fast to the plow, scour this ground and ocean floor for my scattered pieces, banish the demons of insecurity and shame that don't want to release them, Sankofa the source, go back, look it in the eye, wrench me from its crippling clutches, then close the door, change the locks, and deny its access to the rest of my life, and if it tries, kill it. Show no remorse for doing so, for digging deep and for being a hoe. You know I'm a hoe. How do you know? 'Cause I told you so. Said I'm a hoe.
Damn. Yeah, can we give it up for Ramsey?
Sure.
Yeah.
Lighthouse me, please. I love that.
That rare epiphany. You know I like that.
Thank you.
Man. Whew. Whew. Oh, man. Oh, well. We're going to move from you, Rare, over to the station manager. South Cackalacka Finest. South Cackalacka Finest. Mr. Pineapple Calligraphy himself. Bare Metals, a.k.a. Poetic. What's happening, station manager, sir?
Ain't nothing, man. You got me homesick with all this Baltimore talk, man. Got me homesick.
Well, you know. You know what it is, you know. You just going to have to beat up in Baltimore and eat some good food. Right. But, you know, I got to keep... Every time I cook, I turn around, you got to be making garlic something with crab and shrimp and... You know, that Baltimore is coming real through, coming through. I meant to say, the doctor, he's from Baltimore. Anyway, do you have a piece for us, sir?
I do. Baby, I want you to massage my thoughts until my ideas have thoughts. So when I birth a new creation, those melanin lips will have spoken words much stronger than my emotions. Compel me to run through a brick wall, 'cause I'll be sliding in and out of your walls. When you use cocoa butter to heal my mind's muscles, I want the purest form of coconut oil to anoint me in all the places that you deem worthy to be rubbed. As you use your eyes to search for missing elements, I'm no longer robbed. Well, nothing else from my intellectual property can be stolen, because your kiss has copyright protected all the important data you've touched with your bare hands. You created a brand new Adam, and I'm not like the first or the last. I'm simply a descendant of the purest power in the universe at last. I've met my match. Torn from my rib, and she did more than just snatch. Snatched my soul, licked my thoughts, massaged them until they themselves had ideas. Even when I'm hurting, she peers into my reality and demands no more tears. She uses shea butter to anoint me more and more, while her essence tastes like pure pineapple juice, and I want more. More of her passion to leak all over me, more of her gifts to nurture me. Show me the path as she massages my shoulders, using ice-cold words to freeze the doubters, because I used to doubt, but she thawed my unbelief until I realized I was no longer flawed. And when she opens herself up to me, it's like making love in a warm coconut milk bath, and we tear down the walls of any unforgivable essence so we can exist in our presence. Mother Africa looks at her, while Mother Earth marvels at her, and Mother Nature, well, Mother Nature thought she was the only one that could change an environment with storms, sure. But see, my queen has the ability to bring forth life and make the muscles of my mind lift the heaviest burdens of life. The problems rest upon my shoulders, but so do her legs as I hold her. So she makes sure my muscles recover, because the world has yet to discover that because of the volume of life she gives me, makes me a beast, and I'm not to be messed with, so leave me be. Poem.
Hello, man.
Hello, Cleveland. You better lift burdens over your shoulders like legs. Wait a minute. You thought we was going to skip over.
I wasn't even going to say nothing about that, but
I was going to say that. Oh, yeah, I heard that.
I was going to see anybody pick it up.
I picked up what he put down. I see you over there. Keep laying.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yes.
Man, wow. we're going to go over to Florida real quick. And we're going to talk to you, Miss Stina, baby. Stina, you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, Stina. Do you have something you'd like to share with us and the good doctor?
Sure. I think I'll go with this right here. You abandon me. Love don't live here anymore. Just a vacancy. Love don't live here anymore. Love, that don't live here anymore. The existence of the thing that once dwelled inside of my being has vacated the premises without notice. See, honey, child, I don't have the energy to play with you or allow you to play games with my heart. Because what you won't do is continue to play me for a fool. If you fool me once, it's a shame on you. You fool me twice, that's shame on me. I refuse to be the doormat where you rub your stinking, filthy, dirty feet. I refuse to be present for you time after time when you make it clear by way of convenience is only when I come to mind. But you decided to spend time with somebody who you thought was better than me. You're home. That ain't here with me. But at the end of the day, I'm the one you're calling singing, I messed up, baby, I'm sorry, forgive me. Lies on top of more lies. I have no more tears to cry for you in these eyes. Well, I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna shed no tears. No, I'm not gonna cry. This is not the time. 'Cause you're not worth my tears. I used to be weak for you. I used to do anything to prove that you are for me and I am for you. I used to go above and beyond for what I thought was the real you. But how tables have turned. Woo! And true colors are revealed. There's no reasoning with a fool who won't deny himself and keep it all the way real. I admit, you had me caught up. I admit, you had me ready to risk it all. But in this moment, I know better. I refuse to send you a four-page letter enclosed with a kiss because I do not miss the dark abyss where I once would dwell stricken with a toxic love spell. I deserve more. I will no longer settle for what's comfortable. I will not dumb me down just so you can sit high on your throne. Baby boy, the love is gone. And I ain't looking for it with you. Just don't be mad when you see me doing me with somebody willing to do more than what you used to do. You feel me, boo? If not, don't worry about it. I digress. Good day to you. But, oh, real quick, tell sis I said what's up, too. In peace. That's Tina, baby.
Yo. You didn't start with my song. That is my, I was singing. Oh my God, that is my song. And the piece. Now the piece to follow. Yeah, that's that work. You did that. I love your voice, girl. Yes, yes, yes.
You have a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. I felt the same. She said, woo. And I said, woo too.
You know, sometimes you just got a Ric Flair with it. Woo!
I know that's right. Now you're going to have me playing that song tonight. That is my man.
Woo, Lord.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, now. Last but not least, Walking Erotica. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
What's happening? What's going on, good brother? Good to see you. Good to hear you.
Good to hear from you too, brother.
And perchance, what? Of course, of course. It's all love. So, what do you have for us this evening?
I'm going to do a piece I called 2:18 a.m.
All right. Well, the mic is yours.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm high as fuck. Vision kind of blurry and a bit tipsy from this wine, but I can feel my hands gripping your hips as you grind and wind that ass on my dick print through my sweatpants at the bar in the kitchen. The remembrance of you holding your hands above your head, reaching for the heavens as the legs rock the boat, helps you act out your fantasies between my thighs. You keep reminding me it's your birthday. You want to party all night with me. I pulled a blunt as you turned around and grabbed me by my throat. Smile because it's cute. And I know you ain't about that life. I gently remove your hand and pull you in to kiss you. I got you smiling from ear to ear as we take another toke. You blow your smoke in my face, and then you grab my neck again. Now you have my attention. So I smile, grab my shot of Hennessy, throw it back, it's aggression, and ask you, you trying to tell me how you feeling? Or you telling me how you want to feel? The huge grin and bite of your lip gives me enough information to have my answer. I grab you by your neck and push you toward the bedroom. I begin to undress on the way there as you run to throw the sheets from the bed. I climb in, grab you by your thighs and pull you down so you don't hit your head. Not yet, anyway. Then begin to eat your pussy. You hold on to my forearms and grind and shiver all over my face. Squeezing my head with your thighs got my ears popping in the air intake at a minimum. I die, I die. But I don't think you'll kill me. I believe I'm too valuable of an asset to you. Being pissed off from almost dying, I hop up and turn your ass over on your side and get ready to slide this thick dick in. Gently, of course. But do me a favor. Lift that leg towards your chest just a little bit. Thank you, baby. I hold that top ass cheek up and park this thick dick inside of you. I slow stroke and you sing with me. Moans ringing off his voluptuous hymns, only the blessed and anointed are blessed to witness. Yes, Lord. I speed up that stroke and now the box spring got something to say. I speed up a little bit more and now the head boy gossiping about us. I beat that pussy with a little more thump and now the neighbors knock. I turn up the stroke and now your pussy talking. And I amp up and start piping your yoni and now you ain't saying shit. And you the loudest thing in this room right now. You like it when I knock on the bottom walls of your pussy, don't you? Your river flows while this ding-a-ling rings all of your bells and makes that pussy squirt and whistle. I'm glad I could satisfy you, baby, but ain't no coming for me tonight. Why? Because that gives me a reason to wake up in a few hours and pipe that ass again. Peace.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Leave
it for hour 69. Make it do what it do, baby. Lord.
I knew somebody was going to creep through with a little bit of drip. Let's just check. Good doctor, are you okay?
Somebody
yes,
has drip.
Fine.
I knew it.
You know,
it's all right, though. We know what it is.
Out.
No.
Like y'all.
Okay, stand him. Okay, oh my gosh.
Nah, Brian, I done already told you about making me respond on mute, damn it.
Listen, we have a guest.
No more comments.
Hello. We have guests. Take y'all nowhere.
You
nowhere.
Absolutely know you.
That is a fact.
I just knew. I was like, come on, we can't be, you know, just one time. But you, of course, you know. Then again, you know what? It's my fault. I can't even sit here and be like it's not my fault. It's always my fault. I just gotta. Anyway, can y'all give a round of applause for Erotica?
thank you. I love y'all.
Anyway, I guess I'm gonna do something real quick, but it's not gonna be a trip. Tom, what'd you say, good doctor?
I said all right.
Ready. All right, we're gonna try this out, but I gotta. What did you say? Say it again.
I don't know why there's a delay like that. I was just saying I haven't heard it. So I'm excited to hear it.
Okay. Well, you can hear me, right? I just switched quick. All right. Let's try this out. Send the angels to herald your coming. Tell them to trumpet your arrival with the sun. Tell them that the sun rays are the cloak of your aura, that loveliness, how elegance exudes your sublime splendiferous sensation. I am sure that your melanin DNA contains all nation. The dance that is your walk is the ballet of air parting with earth. How perfect you are. And yet, I fail you. Knowing that you bear the same ripped
scars and trauma from Middle Passage, the shame of filth being chained next to me in the hold of slave ships, how you are woman and black with two strikes before anyone recognizes your light, how when given love you make home, you make warmth, you make life, and walk the edges of a knife, trying to be everything to everyone. Being the moon that reflects my sun, God bless, blessing that if your breath is his essence, someone will see you on low level, relate, reverb, vibrate to treble, forgetting symphony, relegating you to a melody. You learning not to trust me and us learning not to fight to the death for you, thinking of you as a commodity instead of a quality. Do you even get the chance to dream? How many has this bridge called your back heavy with weight, systemic keeps contorted, supported all of us? How your tears and prayers have saved one and all, even the oppressors, needed you as a wet nurse to nurse children who would grow to hate you and debate your freedom and rights while their father snuck in your quarters at night, even denying the children fired from their lust, allowing our families to be sold off, resting instead of running to you. We run from you. Limits you, patronize you, allow white patriarchy to inform choice and decision, not represent black love on television or for you in real time. I can only celebrate you within rhyme, only hope that you can come forth, only show you that the riches of your worth, your cocoa butter kisses that hold me, complete me when your love makes me the man, how you birthed and built this world for your womb, bringing us glory from gloom to lose you in your queendom that would spell doom. I'm sorry for you sacrificing yourself just to love me and my key family. I'm strong. I will love. I'll be greater. I will do better. The strength on purpose is loving you. I'm not even going to say I'm sorry. I'm just going to ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry for you sacrificing yourself just to love me and to keep family. Forgive me. Paul.
I forgive you. Damn it, coming in here doing us like that. You always make us one. That was beautiful.
I can't deal with the mixed emotions. Like, Brian just, you know, be getting the hormones going, and then Mojave just come in here pulling at people's heartstrings. Like, I just can't deal.
Right. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. See?
I'm unstable because of y'all Negroes.
Well, baby, see what y'all done did. Get you worked up and then, then just have you stretched with holding your damn heart. Like, what you want?
Okay, well, thank you, one and all. Good doctor. Number one, could you tell us where to find you on social media? I know we have a lot of stuff too, so I'll make sure that the event page is packed and rife with all your information, but we'd like to repeat it on air so that everybody knows how to find you.
Okay. Well, first, I do want to say that I really appreciated the point that you just shared, that perspective, that vulnerability, that honesty. I feel like I don't experience that kind of method a lot, so I just think of that. But I am Rebecca DuPont almost everywhere, the same D-U-P-A-S, so you can find me, my website, then Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Rebecca DuPont. I could talk so with Dr. DuPont. That is just over there. And I am poet, author, a reseller, I make jewelry, a photographer, an educator. And so, you know, if I could do something for you, let me know. But yeah, Rebecca Dupas everywhere, Dr. Dupas on TikTok, and A Dose of Dupas Cash App.
Okay. For people who heard it here first, the Cash App is $ A Dose of Dupas. Get some coffee. If you got it, get some rent. whatever you want to do, make sure you do it, but everything helps. Being that we're at the close to our end, Dr. Dupas, would you like to close us out?
I want to thank you so much for inviting me to have you. I know you talked about it for a while, but I'm glad to share this space with you and some of these names and voices I remember from your clubhouse space. So thanks for having me in the family space. I'm going to end with a poem. I'm going to do Dictionary. I'll dedicate this to the sisters. I love my sisters. I'm pretty sure that maybe four, maybe five of us might be fucked up as individuals, but as a collective, people have to say our name and respect it. And I'm talking about the whole gender. And not talk about the women who came before me or the sister who stands beside me like we ain't all members of Queen by Queen U.S. chapter. We done been through too much together. We done crossed the line for each other so many times that we are branded with the same letters. I've seen BWM, Black Women Matter. I don't have to know her to respect the glow in her. I know that sis got story. I know the odds stacked against her. Even God is a fall from glory. So I'm not saying you can't dance about what a Black woman did. I'm just saying when you tell your little story, you still have to tell it like you got to say. Our womb carries whole humans, whether we have birthed a child or never. Our body is godly 7 days out of the month. Our breath will nurture humanity forever. So, yeah, say what you need to say. Just acknowledge that we are goddesses first. I get nervous when y'all talk too long without acknowledging our work. Women put in the most divine and feminine work. I don't need a soul more resilient on the face of the earth. But you can't compliment me by insulting another queen. And don't you dare compare us, because sis got her own thing. I got mine. There's room enough for all of us to shine, whether we're side by side or in different lanes. You gonna respect her all the same. And when you get my presence, face the name. She is legendary. Why are you referring to her as female if the word woman ain't already in your vocabulary? Ask me the petty or lazy. But she is more than her reproductive part. Black women are art. And even when things fall apart and tend to shatter, I'm not saying that whatever she did doesn't matter. I'm just saying she's divine as a baseline. So people have to agree at that point for any conversation to move on. We are trendsetters and go-getters for as long as I can remember. So, yeah, I'm talking about the whole gender. I have a story to tell. You're going to have to make sure you put some love in the tale. Talk about me and my girls respectfully. That even when we are flawed, that's women.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
I see we have some people creeping real late. I see you, divine inspiration. I need to get my lips. I believe that's you.
Hey, baby.
Songbird.
It's me.
I see y'all.
Hey, baby.
I'm late.
I got tied up. So, couldn't get here early enough.
But you know, I was gonna say a really bad joke, but I'm not gonna say it. But,
love.
That being said, what's happening, Paul Simpson? How are you doing, Divine Inspiration? Pop up like that. What's happening?
I'm doing pretty good. No use to complain. How's everybody?
All right.
I was sitting here with a buddy of mine, and I said, you know what? I just feel like some poetry, and I said, let me see. I had 2 minutes to call in. I really snuck in under the wire.
Mm-hmm. I see. But, you know, and I see Songbird. I see you came in, too. I saw you go back and forth. I got you.
Hey.
However.
Better late than never.
It's better late than never. But I got to close out because
Okay.
You know, I got to go pick up a son from the train, so I got to go.
Okay.
But more importantly, it was fantastic. We got the replays. We can do the replays. And yes, Rebecca, I will make sure that you get a copy of the replay for your listening purposes. And we'll keep the event page up. Shout out. You're welcome. Shout out to Tiva Shaw for maintaining the page and rocking out with that. Everything is on the event page. Any information that you knew, as well as in the replay, you'll be able to hear it. You're rocking. Can we unmute our mics and give a round of applause to Dr. Rebecca Dupas?
Everybody for some amazing poetry too. Yes, y'all did awesome.
Nah, I definitely
want a copy of the replay.
I came in halfway through Javi's heartbreak.
Crazy. All right, so listen, Dr. Dupas, thank you so very much for coming on to Fly Speak, for real, you know, Epiphany Radio Universe, Real Entertainment Network. We appreciate you for having, for coming through and for, you know, allowing yourself to be free and to speak and to let us know a little bit about you. I was going to ask you about a bunch of accolades, but I really felt like the question I asked you was really a way for us to get to know you as an artist, as a creative, as an entrepreneur, and everything else. And one of the most important things that I think that I saw on your page, you said that your talent makes space for your gifts, or I'm not sure if I'm saying it properly. I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I said, yes, that's it. You said it correctly.
Okay. And so I thank you for coming here. We make space for you. Please come back. We would love to have you back. And when you're ready to drip, come to the room. Come to the room all Sunday. We got it.
I will. I will. You make me, you know, you make me want to write more. I'm up for the challenge. I'll be back.
All right, I got you. Well, I know that this Sunday we are doing one of our fan music rooms. We're doing Flight Time, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. So, you know, we're going to be playing a lot of stuff from their catalog and the artists that they produced and wrote songs for and everything else like that. So you might want to check that out because, you know, you're a fan of good music.
Sunday, what time is it again?
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, I usually just see the notifications. I'm a look for it. 3 o'clock.
I got you. I'll DM you the information so you can help you, and then we'll go from there. But as for everybody else, we want everybody to be safe. You know, take care of yourselves. Love one another. Love everybody else. I love you guys. I love everything that happens to me. I love the Epiphany Radio Universe. Shout out to For Real. The Boss Man, for creating this venue that allows us to bring such incredible talent and creativity to this space. Everybody be safe, wash your hands, and watch out for the monkeypox.
This
podcast is self-destructive. It's self-destructive in 10, 9, 8,
Peace.
7, 6,
good night, everyone.
5, 4,
Thank you.
3,
good night, y'all.
Two.
Good night.
God bless.